Can you hear me okay? No? Am I going to have to yell? Oh, that sounds all right. All right. When I talked to Kerry about preaching, she said we're up to, I think, Genesis 10 to 14 in the series, but she said, go ahead and skip ahead if you want to. So I'm skipping ahead to Revelation. And my key scriptures are going to be from Revelation. I'd love to just pray before I start. Lord, I'm very conscious that no one here wants to hear from me. Everyone wants to hear from you, Lord. I want to hear from you, Lord. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be upon me, that your presence would be among us, that your Holy Spirit would be upon each heart in the room, stirring each heart to lean into you, to lean into your voice, to lean into the gentle whispers. Lord, I thank you that you're changing us even now. In this very moment, your Holy Spirit is changing us. Lord, I pray that you would anoint my mouth as you anointed Isaiah with that holy coal, that I might speak words straight from the throne room of God, right into the hearts of people. Lord, I'm conscious that you said in Corinthians that the word is not spoken with articulation and persuasive language. It is spoken with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let your power be among us, Lord. Let your signs and wonders follow the preaching of the message of your gospel. We crave more of you, Lord. More and more of you. Let us go deeper. Let us wade deeper into the waters, your living waters, Lord. Let us wade deeper and deeper and deeper into your presence, and let us truly know you. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship of your Holy Spirit among us. Amen. All right, so last time I was here, I spoke a little bit from my testimony. I spoke about being raised by missionaries at YWAM, Youth with a Mission, and I spoke about the church that I was raised in and the very unique upbringing that I had. I lived in an environment that really cultivated the presence of God and gave me the best possible opportunity to encounter him for myself. I'm going to be giving you another side of the story today, and I'm going to be very vulnerable with you, more than I want to be, but that's how the Holy Spirit's leading me, and I hope that it will bless you and edify you. I just want to start by saying that there's always been a dream in my heart to live an extraordinary, supernatural life. For as long as I can remember, I've wanted to live out the fullness of the gospel. I've wanted to be spotless and blameless, walking along the path of righteousness in his holiness through the power of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus said that we can go out and heal the sick, if he said cleanse the leper and raise the dead, if he said that we would do greater things than he did, then I want it all. I want every ounce of the fullness of the gospel operating in my life. And that's the dream that's been in my heart. But I have to admit, 6 or so years ago when I started my university education, I allowed a bit of distance to come between the Lord and I. I became very obsessed with my work and with my study, and I was doing all the usual Christian things. I was going to meetings. I was talking to people about God. I loved God. But I wasn't setting time apart for him. And I allowed a distance to grow between us. I became very confident in my abilities to make my own way in the world. And I was doing well at university. I devoted every waking moment to my studies. And I knew that I'd lost that special connection with God. And by the time I finished my honours degree, I knew that I was at a real risk of heading down the path of a natural existence where I would try and make my own way in the world. I would pursue money and success and the esteem of people in my profession and all these kinds of things. And I talked to Sam about this, and we both came to the conclusion that that wasn't the life that we wanted for ourselves. We wanted the extraordinary life. We wanted God's supernatural life for us. We didn't want something man-made. We wanted something God-made. And we decided, I think we were on the beach. We just got engaged and we decided we needed to do something drastic to get ourselves on the right course. So we came up with the idea of going overseas on missions and offering the first 5 months of our marriage to God as the first fruits of our marriage. And 2 months into our marriage, we did leave for Africa. And that's where the story really began for me. That's where the crushing and the pressing began. In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. Jesus. I don't feel to go into the details of the trip today, but I will tell you this. The trip crushed me, obliterated me. The trip absolutely smashed me. God removed every man-made security that I'd put around myself on that trip. I was completely broken by the experiences that I had, and I'm sure those same experiences wouldn't break any of you the way that it did me, but God knew that. He knew the securities I'd put around my life and the man-made things that I'd put around my life. And he started pulling them all away until I was completely and utterly broken. I had some very scary realizations on the trip. I realized I didn't know God anymore. I realized I didn't know his voice. I realized I didn't know his leading. And the thought of trying to navigate the future without him was very frightening, and it brought me to my knees. He, of course, was there with me the whole time, but I hadn't learnt his presence, or I hadn't cultivated his presence. I didn't know how to be led by him. And I felt the sting of separation from him. I felt myself hanging above the abyss. I felt the full weight of sin and darkness and torment. I was having night terrors. I was having extreme anxiety. And I knew I needed to do everything in my power to get back into the presence of God and to know his voice and his leading. These experiences were an answer to prayer for me. Can you believe it? Having always been a Christian, I needed God to show me what life was like without him so that I would have the hunger to pursue him with my whole soul and never look back. He gave me this hunger, and I am determined never to return to that place where I felt separated from him. I've had Moses' words ringing in my head, "Lord, if your presence does not go with us, I am not going. I never want to depart from the presence of God. I will cling to his presence. I will pursue his presence. I will cultivate his presence. I will know his voice. I will know his leading. This is the cry of my heart." When I came back from the trip, I was smashed and broken, but I was hungry. I was so hungry. And shortly after I returned, I started reading my Bible like my life depended on it. I read basically the whole Old Testament in 3 months. I was attending services. I was receiving ministry from mentors as much as I could. I was on my knees day and night in my prayer closet. And to be honest, nothing felt like it was happening. I was crying out and I didn't feel like God was responding. But during this time, God sent someone to me to give me some prophetic words that really spurred me on. It was a person I'd just met. I think it was the first time we'd met. And he came up to me and he said, "I can see you on one side of a mountain. There's an impenetrable mountain before you. And suddenly you're transported to the other side of the mountain. And you're looking around and it's completely new." And he said, "You won't even be able to remember the old place. The new place will be so wonderful." And he said to me, I can see a river coming towards you. It's a river of light and it's about to hit. Your encounter is coming. Wait for the river of light to hit you. Your encounter is coming. And I thought, thank you, Jesus. I'm not feeling you right now, but thank you, Jesus. And over the next few weeks, months even, maybe a couple, the Lord started stirring my heart to pray and fast, to enter a period of prayer and fasting. I'd never fasted before. I had no idea why Christians fasted. I knew that it was in the Bible, but I'd never done it. And I tried over and over again to fast, and I kept failing. So the Lord sent someone else to me to tell me, you need to fast. And here's a teaching that you need to listen to on fasting. So I listened to the teaching, and this revelation entered my soul so deeply of what it meant to fast. And I began to fast that very day. I fasted 7 days without food. And then I took a break and I fasted a further 21 days on a vegan diet. And every day that I fasted, things shifted in my life and miracles started to happen. I remember one of the very first days, the Lord led me to read Revelation out loud to myself, covered it start to finish in one sitting. I started reading it with Mum one night. We read about a third together, and when she left, I just kept reading on and into the night, just reading and reading. And the fear of the Lord came upon me so strongly. I was trembling with reverence at his mighty and terrible power. I'd love to read a little passage to you that really impacted me. It's in Revelation 19, if you would like to turn there with me. Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 and onwards. After that, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one who was riding it was called Faithful and True, and he passes judgment and wages war in righteousness. His eyes ablaze like a flame of fire, and on his head are many kingly crowns, diadems, and he has a title inscribed across him that only he knows or can understand. He is dressed in a robe dyed by dipping in blood, and the title by which he is called is the Word of God. And the troops of heaven, clothed in fine linen, dazzling and clean, followed him on white horses. From his mouth goes forth a sharp sword, which will smite the nations, and he will shepherd and control them with a staff of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath and indignation of God, the Almighty Ruler. And on his garment and on his thigh, he has the name titled King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I don't know about you, but this makes me tremble. I love this image of the second coming of Christ. His eyes ablaze. Something very profound happened to me. Not only did the fear of God come upon me that day, but I experienced the greatest security I have ever known. I suddenly knew in the depths of my soul, nothing I feared on this earth could harm me. He was the only one worth fearing, and by fearing him, I would be delivered from every other fear. I suddenly knew that even though the world might destroy my body, I was safe with him. The fear of the Lord became a fountain of life within me, just as Proverbs 14:26 says. Even Jesus says in Matthew 10, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. After this revelation entered me, the Lord started sending me people to give me instructions. Some of them were very difficult to hear. Mostly they were related to hidden pride, hidden judgment, hidden pain, insecurity, wounds, offences, things that I didn't even realise were in me. And I started obeying what the Lord was saying as if it was my very life source. I started submitting, I started humbling myself, I started coming before Him in prayer and weeping. And I started releasing the fears, I started releasing the offences. And He started doing this very profound healing in my life. As I obeyed Him, I started to receive like I had never received before. As I obeyed Him, I've never experienced such joy, such peace, such love as I have experienced in the last few months. He swept me into a beautiful romance with Him. And He started to speak directly to my heart. As I started to let off the baggage and started to receive my healing, I started to hear His voice. And I would wake up with His songs in my heart, and I would wake up with visions of Him. And He would minister to me all the time. He started giving me words for other people, things that I could give to bless other people. And as I obeyed Him, I went deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into His love. His word has come alive to me. I used to read the Bible and I thought, I don't understand any of this, Lord. I'm banging my head against the wall, even during those three months where I read the whole Old Testament. I need to read it again. I didn't understand a word. But now the words leap off the page into my heart. Why? Because my attitude has changed. It's become one of profound humility. I tremble at His word. It brings me to my knees. I realize now that the prideful person I was couldn't understand His word. It was a mystery to me because of the pride in my heart. I've realized that only my brokenness before God and my realization of how much I desperately need Him is what has opened the word up before me and His heart behind the word. I'm not sure if you realize, but it said over 300 times in the Bible that we should fear God. I'm not sure I've ever heard a message on the fear of God. And it says in Isaiah 33 that the fear of the Lord is our treasure. Romans 3:18 says that to not fear God is the chief sin. I'd love to just run through some scriptures that really express what the fear of God leads to in our lives. It says in Deuteronomy, I'm going to go very quickly, I've got a lot, that to fear the Lord our God is for our own good and for our survival. In Psalm 31 it says, how great is His goodness, which is stored up for those who fear Him. In Psalm 128 it says, how blessed is anyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy, and it will be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, and your children like olive plants around your table. The fear of the Lord prolongs our life, according to Proverbs. The fear of the Lord leads to healing. In Malachi it says, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves. That's exactly how I've been feeling. The fear of the Lord leads to His protection. The fear of the Lord leads to satisfied sleep. It protects us from the evil one. It delivers our soul from death. It keeps us alive in famine. It says in Psalm 34, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and He rescues them. The fear of the Lord leads to His provision. For those who fear Him, there is no want, it says in Psalm 34. He has given food to those who fear Him. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and love. And life, sorry. It says in Psalm 85, surely His salvation is near to those who fear Him. that glory may dwell in your land. The fear of the Lord allows his glory to dwell among us. The Lord favors those who fear him, those who wait for his loving kindness. In Luke it says that the fear of the Lord leads to his mercy upon generation after generation. In Psalm 25, who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way that he should go. The fear of the Lord leads to direction and instruction in our lives. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, a fountain of life within us, that one may avoid the snares of death. And there is also a scripture in Malachi that says, the Lord lends his ear and gives attention to those who fear him, and a book of remembrance is written before him. How beautiful. And finally, in Revelation, the fear of the Lord leads to eternal rewards, as we know. So it's my hope and prayer that God will open within all of us this fountain of life. I never understood the fear of the Lord before he took me on this journey. I never understood that it would set me free and that I would be enraptured by his love and that he would pour all his goodness out upon me as I came before him in brokenness and humility. I'm just going to turn to Revelation 22. There's a scripture that really spoke to me. Revelation 22, verse 17. The Holy Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who is listening say, come. And let everyone come who is thirsty, who is painfully conscious of their need of those things by which the soul is refreshed. And whoever earnestly desires to do it, let him come, let him take, let him appropriate and drink the water of life without cost. Whoever is painfully conscious of his need, whoever earnestly desires, let him come and take and appropriate and drink the water of life. I'd love to just open up the end of the service for more worship, that people can come before the Lord and respond to this message however they feel. And I'll be up the front if anyone cares to have prayer, and I'm sure the elders will come up as well. And I'd love to see people just ministering to each other with their gifts, those with prophetic gifts and those with gifts in healing and in different types of ministry, because I know that a lot of us are feeling the brokenness that I've felt and need his touch desperately and are thirsty for his living waters. So I'd love for the worship team to come back up.